Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. It's good to be able to be with you and appreciate already the singing and the praying and worshiping together with you and appreciate your presence. I think sometimes when we read in our Bibles, we read things in our Bibles that we readily understand and agree with. And then sometimes we'll read a statement in the Bible that we might think, well, you know, I'm not really sure about that one. I'm not really sure if I understand maybe the meaning of it or the value of it. For example, we might read Jesus' statement in the Sermon on the Mount, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So we see that as a principle that we readily understand, that we treat others the way we want to be treated, and that makes a lot of common sense, and it's something that I see some value in. But then we might read statements about baptism, for example, and we don't really see the purpose of water. Why can't God just simply forgive us of our sins through some other way? Why do we have to get wet over that matter? We might not see the purpose or the value or understand that type of thing. So I believe that there are passages of Scripture that we read that readily we agree with and understand, and then there might be some that are a little bit more puzzling. One of those that I want us to consider this morning is what Paul said that Jesus said, and that is, it is more blessed to give than receive. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Is that really true? It is more blessed to give than receive. I remember, you know, when I was young, you would go to a birthday party. And you're walking in with your present, and you walk in, and the boy or the girl is sitting there with just tons of presents. And I remember thinking, I'd rather be that guy, not the guy walking in. I want to be opening up the presents, not, you know, my one little present. And so you read a passage like this, and you're like, really? I don't know about that. It's more blessed to give than receive. I'd rather be on the receiving end. That's the fun part. That's the cool part, you know. That's the part where you get a lot of things. And so we read a statement like this and we're thinking, well, you know, I don't know about that. Of course, Jesus said it. Paul said that Jesus said it. And so in the back of our mind, we're going, well, you know, it has to be true. Jesus said that, but I may not truly understand how all of that works. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. That, in fact, it is more blessed to give than receive. And Jesus is going to tell us here in this short statement to be blessed when we give. And it could be money. It could be time, our time. It could be some physical things. It could be our talents. It could be serving in this church. It could be giving example, a number of things. When we do that, there's an inner, deeper inner spiritual blessing that goes along with that. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Of course, when you're looking at Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, you're looking at a conversation that Paul is having with the elders that have come from the church at Ephesus. And right toward the end of this discussion, he wants to talk about the importance of working for physical things, and then using those things to help others. And he set an example of that, and he wants the elders to do the same. And so it's in this setting, then, that he quotes Jesus. And what's interesting about this is that this is not recorded anywhere in the Gospels. You're not going to find where Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Jesus taught a lot about giving, but in not these specific words. And so what Paul is talking about here is he's talking about words of Jesus that were oral in nature, but not necessarily written down. And those are just as much truth as his words that are written down. Let's start back in verse 33 as he's wrapping up this discussion. And then they're going to pray together and then they're going to part company. Acts 20, verse 33. I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. So when Paul was there at Ephesus in Acts chapter 18, he showed them how to work. He was working. He was taking care of his things. his affairs, and he gave them that example. You remember that. And then verse 35, in all things that I gave you an example, that so laboring you ought to help the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Let's look at that statement this morning. Are we givers? Do we give a lot? Of course, we just gave of our money, our contribution here for the work of this church. But other things. Giving our time and our talents and our service and our help and our example. Are we givers? This past week, did we give more than we took in? Do we find ourselves when we're out with others being generous, being giving? That's sort of the first thing on our mind. How can I give to someone? How can I help someone? Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Let's see how that is the case this morning. Let's look at some areas of giving that will bless us. And I'd like to start this morning with right here at the text. So let's go back to Acts chapter 20 and starting back in verse 33. Let's see why it is that it is more blessed to give than receive. First of all, because if we're a giving person, it will help us to avoid covetousness. If we're a giving person, it will help us to focus on giving away what God has given us, and we're not hoarding it, we're not keeping it for ourselves, where in turn we end up just focusing on those material kinds of things rather than on serving God. In verse 33, Paul said, I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. If we're a giver, then we're not going to covet material things. Some versions have greed in the New Testament for covetousness, where this inordinate desire to have and keep and focus on physical things. We need food, shelter, and clothing, and we need jobs, and we need income. But those things are servants. They're not masters. And so they help us live, but we're not going to trust in those things and let that be an idol. In Colossians 3 and 5, covetousness is idolatry for some, where it's almost as if they're literally bowing down to the almighty dollar. When we give, it keeps us from covetousness. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, when the man came to him, divide this inheritance between me and my brother, when someone had passed away, and divide the inheritance, and Jesus said, keep yourselves from covetousness. And then he talks about the rich farmer who just focused on his material things rather than making sure that his soul was right with God. It's more blessed to give than receive, because when we're giving, we're blessed with this attitude of I'm not coveting. I'm not covetous like much of the world is. Do you remember that was the problem with the rich young ruler? If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. The problem with the rich young ruler was not his morality, it was his giving. This man had kept the commandments. He had not committed adultery, and he had not stolen, and he had not borne false witness, and he had honored his father and his mother, and he had loved his neighbor as himself. This man was a moral person, and he had kept the commandments from his youth up, and so apparently he had good parents, he had a good family life, and he had a good moral life. But his problem was, because he was rich, he wanted to keep that for himself. And so when Jesus said, look at what Jesus said, sell all that you have, and then underscore this, give to the poor. He didn't want to give anything. That was his problem. His problem was not his morality, it was his giving. And so sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard the saying about the giving part, he went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions and he didn't want to give it up. God blesses us with cars and homes and income and nice things. We use those things to take care of ourselves, but as we're going to see later in the lesson, there are verses that say that we take care of our needs, but we also use that for others. Be a giving person. And it's more blessed to give than receive, because one of the blessed states of that is it keeps us from being greedy and covetous. And in turn, where we focus on that and we don't want to enter into the kingdom like we should. And so he goes on, Jesus does, to talk about how hard it is for the rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't matter how much we have. We might say, well, I don't have a whole lot. I get by on a fixed income and on very little. And all of us have different incomes and different types of things that are coming into our lives. But regardless of what it is, be a giving person. The first thing on our mind in the day and in the week is, what can I do to use this for others? It's more blessed to give than receive. Back now in Acts chapter 20, if you'll come down with me to the next verse. Paul said, number one, with this giving attitude, he avoided covetousness. And number two, with this giving attitude, the text says, you yourselves know that these hands ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. When we're a giving person, we actually learn to be self-disciplined. Stop and think about it, brethren. If you have to give a certain amount on Sunday morning, where Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, to lay by in store on the first day of the week, don't you have to be a kind of a person that plans ahead? You got to plan. You've got to be disciplined. I'm not going to blow all my money this week. I'm going to reserve some for the Lord. You end up being a self-disciplined person. You budget. You plan. You control yourself. You watch yourself. You make sure that I'm taking care of my needs, but others who need things, and especially I have this obligation on the Lord's Day, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, that's a command, it's not an option. All of us as members of the church are to be laying by in store. The contribution is not an option. Well, to do that, I'm going to have to be disciplined in my money matters and in my physical matters. And isn't that a great thing, to be just a disciplined person? You know, you find a person that is self-disciplined with his money matters and things like that, he's typically a self-disciplined person in all areas of his life. So not only is he careful with his money, but he's careful with his morality, and he's careful with his words and how he talks, and he's careful with how he dresses, and he's careful with how he works. You see, it really is a blessed thing because it makes us a disciplined person in all areas of our life. Now, by disciplined, I don't mean Scrooge and stingy and a miser and someone who, I'm so disciplined I never give away. No, I'm giving, but in order to give and to take care of all of these areas of my life, I'm going to have to be disciplined. I've talked with brethren before with regard to the matter of giving of the contribution other places, and they're not giving. So some I've approached before, they just weren't giving at all. And when I talked with them about that, they would say, well, by the end of the week, I just didn't have anything. You know, I was spending it on this, and I was spending it on that. And we went to Dollywood this week, and when I got back from vacation, we went down to Florida, got back, didn't have any money left, and I just didn't have any. You're not disciplined. And so it's more blessed to give than receive, because when we're doing that, we're planning ahead and we're careful. And Paul says, let him lay by in store that when I come, no collections might be made. This is something that is planned and purposeful, and it's a priority. And we're disciplining ourselves to make sure that this part of my life I'm giving. And it's not just money. Think about volunteering to serve here in the local church. And we talk about filling out the needs, the work lists and different things that need to be done in and around the building. If I will give of my life and do that and go put my name down for this or that, that shows that I'm disciplined to take care of my job and my family and the local church. I'm going to be disciplined and organized and careful. And that's going to help me in every aspect of my life. It's more blessed to give than receive, because we begin to see now some blessings that come from it. Look at Acts chapter 20 and notice in verse 35 a third thing that Paul says. In all things I gave you an example that so laboring you ought to help the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than receive. You ought to help the weak. If we're a giving person, we're a sharing person. And if we're a sharing person, then we're thinking about others. And isn't that a blessed way to be in life, where we're not selfish? We're not self-centered. The universe does not revolve around us. We're sharing and caring. Doesn't that make us a better person? We live in a society where much of the problems that we're seeing today revolve around selfishness. What I think and what I want and what I feel and what I want to do at the moment. And that's making this world a worse place. We need to be selfless. And giving makes us that kind of person. So it's not just about working to take care of your own affairs, verse 34. We've got bills to pay and we've got things that we need to take care of. But verse 35, it's also to help others. He mentions the weak. And we have those around us. We have the poor, the weak, the disenfranchised, the marginalized, the folks that are down and out. We have sometimes those that will come to our building and they need help. It makes us a selfless person, and that is a blessed way to live. Do you like to be around a selfish person? You ever been around a selfish person? You like that? Is that just someone you naturally want to grab? No, of course not. We don't like being around that, and we don't want to be that ourselves. And so being a giving person, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. We're thinking about others. When we get up, it's not just about ourselves, but about others. And so with regard to work, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good. Don't go out and engage in some kind of work that is bad, but that which is good. Why? That he may have whereof to give to him that hath need. Yes, we have bills to pay and kids' mouths to feed and that type of things, but there are others. And so when we give to those outside of our own, we're sharing and we're giving, and that's the kind of person that God wants us to be. And so it really becomes a blessed thing. It makes us more selfless. We're thinking about others. And then look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Paul says that these are the words of Jesus. This is not an option. And Paul said that you ought to remember these words. That's not an option. And so when we're a giving person, it shows that we are obedient to what Jesus wants us to do. Giving and sharing is not an option. It's not a Church of Christ doctrine. It's not some personal peculiar thing that somebody wants. It's what Jesus wants. And we need to be obedient to that. There were different times when Jesus said things about giving. One of the most discussed matters in both the Old and New Testament, did you know that? It's money. One of the most discussed matters in all of the Bible is money. And the proper or the improper use of it. It's interesting. Jesus knows that we live in a material world, and you can study both Old and New Testaments, and there is a very large amount said there about how a person handles their material and their monetary matters. Why? Because that's something that is in our life every day. Jesus had a lot to say about giving. And we need to be obedient to that. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Giving is a command. I mentioned to you before that sometimes there's a few brethren you'll find here or there that won't give. And that's not me, you know, spying on someone during the contribution. I don't do that. I don't look around and see if somebody's putting money in the plate or not. That's not what I'm talking about. But it naturally comes up from time to time if a person is giving or not, and sometimes they won't give. I need to take the Lord's Supper, but I don't need to give. Giving is just as much a command as the Lord's Supper. And giving of our time and our talents and our service, those are commands, you see. And so it's more blessed to give than receive, because when I'm giving, I'm obedient. And of course, I'm blessed for being obedient. But turn with me to Luke chapter 21 and verse 4. Here's another reason why it's more blessed to give than receive. Let's look at some passages outside of Acts chapter 20. It's more blessed to give than receive because when I'm in the giving mode, it shows that I'm willing to sacrifice and give up something for the Lord. I'm not just a bench warmer. I'm not just a pew warmer. I'm not just going through the motions or what some have described as a church of Christ or just sort of going through, filling a tradition or a formalism. I'm really sacrificing for the Lord. Luke chapter 21 and verse 4, we know about the story of the widow and her two mites. And there were those who were giving into the temple treasury of their excess. And she comes up and puts in two mites, but she gives all that she has. It shows a sacrifice. When I'm giving, I'm sacrificing something. I could have used that time for myself. I could have used that money for myself. I could have used that food for myself. I could have used the scheduling of that day for myself and not come down here to the building and scrub the toilet. Raise your hand if that's the first thing you want to do. Let's go down to the church building and scrub a toilet. Sign me up. That's not sort of the first thing on my list. But when I go down there and do that, then I just did something for somebody else rather than for me. And I made a sacrifice. I could have cleaned out the garage. I could have cleaned out the closet. I could have swept the floor. I could have done something for me at home. But I went down there and I cleaned out the church toilet. It's a sacrifice. And we get away from that in the world that we're living in today. Everything today is about convenience. You know, don't sacrifice for anything. Don't have to put out for anything. If it just sort of naturally fits in, if I was just laying around one afternoon and just completely bored and had nothing to do, I might go down there. No, I'm going to go down there eat when I've got 1,000 things I need to do, but I'm going to sacrifice, you see. And one of the blessed things about giving is that it makes us a sacrificial person. And that's the kind of person we need to be. And like we said earlier, with regard to self-discipline, it just makes us a more blessed person to be that self-disciplined, sacrificial, sharing person. Why is the divorce rate close to 50%? Not in all cases, but in many cases, it's, I don't want to sacrifice. And why do we have other problems that we have in our society? Because I don't want to sacrifice. We need that in our life. And Jesus knows that. And when we're a giving person, we're more of a sacrificial person. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Again, with regard to the contribution, there were those in Macedonia who were wanting to give funds to help out the needy in Judea. And before these people gave their money, they gave themselves to the Lord. Again, it keeps us from being just sort of a bench-warming, going-through-the-motion religious person. We're genuine, we're dedicated, we're committed, we're sacrificial. That's the kind of Christian that Jesus is looking for. And so these Macedonians, we find in verse 5, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord and to us through the will of God. they did it beyond their power, verse 3. They sacrificed. They gave money, that's right. And they wanted to help out the needy who were going through this famine. But they gave themselves first. And look at verse 2. How that in much proof of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Some of them were giving, and they didn't have a whole lot, but they gave what they could, and they sacrificed for that. Can we sacrifice a Happy Meal and then use that money to give to somebody in the Philippines? You know, sacrifice a $6.95 Happy Meal and then take that $6.95 and give it to somebody who's in need. You see that? Can we sacrifice one TV program that lasts an hour and go do something that would serve the Lord? You see? Can we give up something? When we're like that, we're just more of a blessed person. I'm hoping that we're seeing the truthfulness of Jesus' statement. The fact that Jesus said it, I know is true. But I hope that we're learning why it is more blessed to give than receive. It makes us more of a sacrificial person. And when we're like that in all areas of our life, our marriage gets better, our parenting gets better, our relationship with our parents gets better, with our brethren, with those who are out in the world, with our co-workers, we're just a better person. That's why it's more blessed to give than receive. And you know what? We're just more like God in Christ. And we could certainly use that more in this world. For God so loved the world that He, what? Everybody knows the verse. That He gave His only begotten Son. God is a giver. And when we're givers, we're more like our Heavenly Father. And every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. We're just more like God. And we're more like Jesus Christ. He came, Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, to give His life a ransom for all. Jesus is a giver. And who doesn't want to be more like God than Jesus? Forget the world, what they're like. I want to be like God and Jesus today. Well, I've got family members who aren't givers. Well, forget about that. I've got friends and co-workers who are selfish. I just want to be more like God and Jesus today. And when I'm like that, then I'm a blessed person. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. In verse 8. I think sometimes people don't give as they should because, and again, not just monetary things, but other things, because they think that what they have is their own. You know, I worked hard for this. This is my car, my money, my house, I've worked hard for this. And so and we get this mentality that, you know, it's mine. I own it. I worked hard for it. I can hold on to it if I want. When in fact, really, they've forgotten a basic biblical principle, and that is that God owns all things. We're simply stewards of what He gives us. And we need to be having this attitude that I'm going to pass it on. What has been given to me by God, I'm going to be passing that on to others. And so when I'm a giving person, I recognize that I'm just simply blessing others with what I've been blessed with by God. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8, when Jesus sends out His apostles to preach, one thing that He gave them was the miraculous ability to heal and so forth. Look at verse 8. Heal the sick. Well, where did they get that power to do that? From Jesus. From God. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out the demons. Where did they get the power to do all that? It was given to them by God. And then look at what He says. Freely you received, freely give. Freely you received what? Well, in this immediate context, it would be the power to heal people. They didn't get that on their own. God gave them that ability. So you have received this ability. Don't just hold it. Now go out and heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Go out and give that away, what was given to you, that power to heal. Yes, we work hard. You work hard every day for what you have. And you appreciate the value of a dollar. And you save, and you want to use that in a good and righteous way. And that's much more than we can say about many people in the world. But always remember that really God is giving us that. We're receiving that from Him. The earth and the fullness belongs to the Lord, the psalmist says. And so what we're doing is, we're just simply passing on what God has given to us. And that makes us a more blessed person when we realize that we're just the channel through which God is working in life. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. You may have thought, well, we're not going to talk about receiving today. The lesson is all about giving. But the irony of it is that if we'll be a giver, a greater giver, God works it to where we're blessed with even receiving things. Look at what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give into your bosom. For with what measure you meet, whether you are generous or stingy, it shall be measured unto you again. If you will go out and give, God works it to where you get things back. And not just a little bit. Read the verse again. It's pressed down, shaken together, compacted. God's wanting to give you an over. It's flowing over. Have you ever been to a business and you want to buy something, you know, by the pound, or you want to buy it by a certain size, and maybe the store owner just barely puts it in there, or maybe the store owner just loads it in there. You know, we talk about a baker's dozen where you get extra, you know. Sometimes a store owner will just kind of barely put it in there, and then sometimes they're generous with it. And Jesus is talking about the latter, where it'll be pressed down, shaken together, flowing over. It's more blessed to give than receive, because when you're a giver, God finds ways where it comes back and He and others are giving back to you. There are people that I've seen who are generous with their money, and people give them money. I've seen people that are generous with their time, and other people give them their time. They're generous with their things, and then they end up receiving things. So we're blessed in that way. And then, last of all, and the lesson is yours, turn with me to James chapter 2. Well, we got a few more, I'm sorry. I didn't flip the page over. You got to flip the page over. We'll talk about a few more things, and then the lesson will be yours. James chapter 2, it shows real faith. James says that we're not just to tell people that, I hope you get your problems taken care of today, but we actually go out and show that, and we give them the things that they need. It's not just a religion where we're talking it, but we're also walking it. We're practicing what we preach. We want to actually put some evidence behind those words that we're saying, and so if you say unto one of them, go in peace and be warmed and filled, and yet you give them not the things that are needful to the body, what does it profit? And he goes on to talk about a dead faith. When we say things and then we actually give to help that out, we are actually showing a real faith.
we're also making true investments.
We are actually making spiritual deposits into a spiritual bank account that in the Lord's day, Jesus will be seeing the spiritual investments that we've been making. He'll call Chris up, he'll call you up, and he'll say, "Let me look at your account. Oh, you've been giving, giving, giving. I remember when you gave on that occasion, and you've been building up a heavenly bank account, and I want to reward you for that." Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, where we see that. It's more blessed to give than receive because we're building up a spiritual deposit every time we do that. Every act of giving, God keeps up with every one of those. And so when we are willing to share, ready to distribute, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. It's what Jesus said in Matthew 6 about laying up treasures in heaven. Every gift, not just on Sunday with putting money in the plate, but our time and our talents and our service and the work we do in and out of the building and outside. The prayer was about reaching the lost and sharing the lost. That is building up your spiritual bank account. And when we're standing there on the judgment day, we're going to want to make a withdrawal. But you got to have something in the account before you can make a withdrawal, right? And God's going to be looking for those acts of giving. Laying up for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. That they may lay hold on the life which is life indeed. In Luke 14 and verse 14, Jesus said, "When you help those people who can't give you anything in return, you're laying up a foundation, that spiritual bank account, and you'll be rewarded in the last day." You know what makes God happy when we give? The scripture reading this morning in 2 Corinthians 9 and verses 6 and 7, God loves a cheerful giver. It's more blessed to give than receive because every time I give, God is happy. And wouldn't that be an incentive? We ought to get up each day and say, "You know, today my goal is to make God happy." That'd be great, wouldn't it? Well, God loves a cheerful giver. And if we'll be a giving person, He's happy. And that's all that matters. And then last of all, it prepares us for the judgment day. I've always been impressed with Matthew chapter 25, one of the great chapters on the judgment day. And what has always impressed me through the years about this is that the main thought of Jesus, it's not the only thing that we need to think about with regard to the judgment day. We need to think about, have I been baptized into Christ? Am I living faithfully? But on this occasion and in this context, the main thought about the judgment day is, were you a giving person? I find that very interesting. There are other passages that say that Bible authority and scriptural authority is important, and that being baptized is important, and worshiping accurately is important. There's other passages that say that. But here, it's just giving. Are we a giving person? And so being a giving person is going to prepare us for that judgment day. And so beginning in verse 34, "Come blessed of my Father." They are the ones, verse 35 and 36, who were giving. They helped the hungry person. They helped the thirsty person and so forth. And then there are going to be those, verse 41, "Depart from me, cursed into the eternal fire." They're going to be the ones, verse 42 and 43, who weren't the giving persons, you see. It actually is a condition and a determination of where we're going to stand in the judgment day. So indeed, it is more blessed to give than receive. That may be one of those Bible statements that we're a little unsure about. But it is the truth. It's wisdom from Jesus. And it's the truth. And we've seen this morning, hopefully, that when we will go out and be a giving person. And start when you're young. Start being a giving person now. Our young people here this morning, we've got great young Christians. Start now to be that giving person. Be that way all your life, and you will have the blessed life. Begin that this morning by coming and giving your life to Jesus in baptism. You'll be blessed. If you'll give Him everything, turn it over. He gave Himself for you. Paul said in Galatians 2:20 that He gave Himself for me. He loved me and gave Himself up for me. Jesus gave for you. Why not come and give yourself back to Him in service? We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement. Let Him have His way. Not your way, but let Him have His way with thee. And when we find that in our lives, we'll find that we are blessed. It's more blessed to give than receive. Let's go out this week and be that giving person. And if we can help you to give your life to Christ this morning, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?